So we're holding on Nun Amud Aleph, the beginning of the fifth Perek. Now, all this time we've been talking about Chalitza and Yibum, and we know what each of those involves. Chalitza, we said, Chalitza, we know what it is, and we're going to have the details later on. There's a whole Perek later on in our Masechta devoted to the details of how Chalitza is to be done. And Yibum, we know, involves that the Yavam has relations with the Yavama. In the next Perek, we're going to talk about the details of that, of what's considered, of what kind of bias are considered bia for that purpose. Those are pretty straightforward, and those are effective daraisa. Yibum makes her completely his wife. Chalitza makes her that she no longer has a zika to him, and she can marry whoever she wants. Now, you have two other things that the Chachamim introduced, Maimer and Get. So Maimer we've touched on before. We've talked about it here and there so far in the Masechta. Maimer is Kiddushin. Midrabanan, you shouldn't, midaraisa, you just do bia and that's that. No kiddushin is needed because she's already considered, in a certain sense, the Yavam's wife, because the Gemara phrased it earlier, Isha hiknu loy min hashamayim, that Hashem had caused him to acquire a wife without kiddushin. But midrabanan, you need maimer, you need kiddushin, rather than just going straight to bia. An interesting vort on this I saw, chassidish vort, is why we call it maimer, why don't we just call it kiddushin as usual? So the simple reason is in order to distinguish it, because we want to clarify that it's not, in fact, real kedushin, that's not necessary daraisa for it, unlike regular kedushin, which is. But there's actually a chassidish shavart on it that says because maimer is the beginning of the process of yibum, which is going to be lahokim shem ames, to uphold the name of the dead brother, and therefore in a certain sense almost like to revive him, to bring his neshama back into the world, and therefore we call it maimer in the spirit of mechaya mesim amamora, as we say in davening. Anyway. So there's maimer, and then there's also get. Now, with a regular wife, of course, a get is daraisa. With a yavama, now once yibum was done, once a proper yibum was done, then a get is also daraisa, in the sense that at that point, if the yavam and the yavama want a divorce, then they use a get like any other married couple. But here we're talking about a get before that point is reached. So before that point is reached, that a get should have any effect is only dirabanan. Now, what the mimer does, so this is what we're going to be discussing So that's the thing. There can be actually two kinds of get for our purposes. There can be get lezikosoi and get lemamoroi. So get lezikosoi means, in other words, that he gives her a get intending to break the zika. Now, daraisa, that would have no effect. The only way to break the zika is yibum or chalitza. But midrabanan, the get accomplishes it, sort of weakens the zika, and now he can't do yibum with her anymore. But she's still going to need chalitza. That's what we're going to discuss. That's one of the points we're going to discuss in the Mishnah. Then you have get l'mamoroi, which is he did maimer, and then he did maimer. Then he gave her a get, intending to use the get to break the to undo the maimer that he did before. So that's not so simple. Actually, we actually learned earlier. Earlier on Daf Lamed Beis, we had something that Rava said, that if he did Mimer and then gave her a get with the intention of undoing that Mimer, then he's back to square one, because my Da'ovid Boshakla, he says, what he did, what he accomplished by Mimer, which is sort of strengthen the Zika between them, he now undid that by strengthen the Zika in the sense that now none of the other brothers have as strong a Zika with her, but now by giving a get to undo that mimer, he brought it back to square one, where now he has a Zika of an equal level with the rest of them. So if he does a get for the Zika, then Dirabanan, Midaraisa, obviously, it wouldn't have any effect. But Dirabanan, that get would prevent him from ever marrying her, from ever doing Yibum with her. Nevertheless, he would still need Chalitza, because the fact is the Zika hasn't been broken on a Daraisa level. So now, our Perek, it's a short Perek, it's only 3.5 flat, but our Perek, and more specifically, to start with, our Mishnah is the whole Perek, and then it's one of those ones where all the Mishnayos are jammed together at the beginning. Is going to go through the various permutations where a person does one and then the other. Now, one thing we also have to realize is that there are a few possible cases. You can have where the dead brother was married to more than one wife, shtei yevamos haboris mebayis echad, and suppose then that one of these things was done with one and then with the other. Versus you can have where there are two brothers and one yevama, two or more brothers and one yevama, and one of them did one of these things and the other did the other. So those kinds of things are going to be what's taking up the Mishnah and what's taking up the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, "Rem Gamil Oimer, ain get achar get." There's no one get after another when it comes to Yevamos has no effect. So Rashi starts with the case, and again we're going to have to start using the diagrams for this. We have in the book in Mari Yevamos, we have on page 84, diagram 182 illustrates the first case. Ein get achar get means suppose that you have two Yevamos. So Reuben was married to two wives, Chana and Leah. Suppose that now he dies. Shimon now gives a get to one of them and then gives a get to the other one. Rav Gamliel is saying the second one hasn't. Now, the first one already had an effect in that, again, weakened the Zika. Now, Medir Abanan, he's not allowed to do Yibum with either one of them. Now he has to do Chalitza. However, so the first one, he has to do chalitza. So we'll discuss in the Gemara whether he has to do chalitza with one or both of them. We're going to talk about in the Gemara, we're going to talk about the concept of chalitza psula, which is a chalitza that's a chalitza that's weaker. In other words, a true chalitza, what's called chalitza me'ula, is when he does it, when he could have done yibum, there's no impediment in halacha for him doing yibum, and instead he chooses to do chalitza. That's called chalitza me'ula. On the other hand, then you have chalitza psula, which is a case like that where the chalitza, where the yibum is impossible because of a consideration such as this, because there was a get involved. Where there, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, maybe she needs to go to all the brothers. I mean, in this case, there was only one brother, but whatever. We'll get to that point in the Gemara over the next couple of days. But anyway, the point is, when he gave a get to Chana, to the first wife, what he accomplished with that, besides that he weakened Zika and now makes it impossible to do Yibum with either one of them, he also, what he accomplished with that is that now Chana's relatives are also to him. Chana's sister or her mother or her daughter, etc., all the various ones that are all, we learned in the previous perek about the sister and the various relatives of a divorcee. So in the case of a chalitza, we said according to most opinions, those are derabanan. But in the case of a divorcee, those are daraisa. But here, where it's a get, which itself is only derabanan, and the same thing, the isurim on those women are derabanan. But anyway, so he created an isur on those wives. So now, let's say, having given a get to Chana, he's now usur to marry her relatives. But now Rav Gamliel is telling us, if now he also goes and gives a get to Leah, then that second get has no effect. To do Yibum with Leah, he can't do, but he would be able to, in the future, to marry Leah's mother or sister or daughter or what have you. The point is, Rashi says that, now we're going to learn in the Gemara, we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, Abaya and Rava discuss what Rav Gamliel's reason is. So right now, Rashi is giving us Rava's reason, and the Gemara will eventually learn Abaya's reason as well. Rava says, essentially, Rav Gamliel is not sure what the effect of the get is. Does it in fact weaken the zika? Does it in fact push her off from yibum or not? So therefore, whichever way you look at it, if the get for the first one had that effect, then the zika for both of them is gone. Therefore the sister, etc., of Leah is not a chos sikukase, and there's no problem. And if you say that the first get is not effective, neither is the second. So therefore, she's not his grusha. So therefore, Sir Rav Gamliel would say that there's no get after get. The second get has no effect once the first one was given. V'loy maimer acha maimer. Similarly, he says one maimer after another maimer does not. So Rashi points out the same thing would also apply. So here we were talking about where there were two Yavamas and one Yavam, the same thing would be. The next diagram, if you have one Yavama and two Yavamin, same idea, where Shimon gives her a get and then Levi gives her a get, same idea. Rav Gamliel would say, Levi's get has no effect, and Levi remains mutter to marry Leah's sister or what have you. So that's, so ain't get aha get. He says also there's no mimer after mimer, same idea. In other words, if one yavam didn't, whether you have two yavamim and one yavama, whether you have two yavamas and one yavam, whatever the case, the point is, if there's one mimer and then a second mimer, the same thing. Again, according to Rava, the reason is going to be because Rav Gamliel is not sure what effect mimer has. Does it in fact passel the other brothers or the other wives from doing yibum or not? So again, the same idea. If the first mimer does that, then the second mimer is ineffective. And if the first mimer doesn't do that, then neither does the second. So therefore, the second mimer has no effect in terms of assuring her relatives. And he continues, v'loy be'ila acha be'ila. Similarly, there's no be'ila after be'ila, meaning the same idea. If let's say, for example, again, so sticking, for example, with the first case where there are the two wives, the shtei yevamos habayis mebayis echad, if Shimon has relations with one of them, making that proper yibum was done, and then he has relations with the other one, now he's also to do that. But nevertheless, it doesn't aser who relatives to him, it's just considered like znus ba'alma. So whether he's going to be chayev for that, we discussed actually earlier in the Masechta, he may only be over actually on an isur lav. We discussed in the first parak actually, we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on a related topic where one of them does chalitza and one of the other, so he himself, if he then had relations with one of the women that he's over on a loisese, what happens if one of the other ones does, is he chayev? Rish Lakish had said he's chayev kodesh, Rabbi Yochanan said he's only over on a lav. Here, where he himself has relations with the other one, then it's an isur lav.
And we go with
Rabbi Yochanan. No, it's not one of the three where the halacha is like Rish Lakish, right? So if he had relations with one of them and then he did with the other, or the same thing. When you have two, you have one yavama and two yavamim, same thing. If Shimon had relations with her, making her that yibum was accomplished, and now she's his wife, and now Levi had relations with her, then it's only znus ba'alma. It's pretty serious because she's an Eishes Ish. But nevertheless, so Levi made. Well, sure she is. Once Shimon did yibum with her, then she's his wife.
Then
if Levi has relations with her, then
not
yeah. No, we're talking about with her. But the point is,
can we stop interrupting, please?
One second. We're trying to understand over here. But the point is.
Okay, stop.
Okay, the point is, we're not focusing on the fact that Levi has committed a serious aveira, he's had relations with an Eishes Ish. What we're focusing on is that it doesn't aser her relatives to him. The same way as a regular case, a man is mezana with a woman, it doesn't make her mother or her sister or her daughter also to him, the same only if he marries them. The same way over here, the fact that Levi had relations with her after Shimon did, she became Shimon's wife. So now to Shimon, her various relatives are also the same way as any case where a person marries a woman and her close relatives are also to him, but Levi not. So that's in be'ila acha be'ila. That's what he means, v'loy be'ila acha be'ila. So it doesn't have any effect on the relatives. And Rabbi Gamliel finishes off, v'loy chalitza after acha chalitza, and there's no chalitza after chalitza, same idea. In other words, that if he did chalitza with one and then with the other, or if one brother did chalitza with her and then the other brother did chalitza with her, the second chalitza has no effect in terms of asuring relatives. Tosfos actually points out that when it comes to the be'ila versus the chalitza, there is actually a difference. Again, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, there's be'ila kshera and then there's be'ila psula. There's be'ila kshera, which is where it was done the proper way, without a get or chalitza having come before it, then it's called chalitza kshera. It's called be'ila kshera, versus be'ila psula would be, for example, he gave her a get, and later on he did be'a with her, where again, the get makes it that d'rabbanan, they're not supposed to do yibum, but then if he did, it has an effect d'araisa, after all, d'araisa, the get. So then he has to give her, we're going to discuss whether he has to just give her chalitza or get or both. We're going to see about that. But be'ila acha be'ila, Tosfos says, means when it was a be'ila kshera. In fact, if it was a be'ila psula, then the second get, then the second bia by the second brother or with the second yavama would have an effect. As opposed to when we say loy chalitza acha chalitza, then Tosfos says it means even after a chalitza psula, which we just said before, you have chalitza psula, where yibum was impossible for whatever reason, for example, because of a din d'rabbanan, And then you have a chalitza psula, even then, one brother's chalitza, and then the second one's, or one, or chalitza with one wife, and then the other, the second one, Rav Gamliel says, has no effect. So in short, Rav Gamliel does agree that, Rav Gamliel does agree that, for example, if you had, let's say, maimer and then get, or be'ila, or get and then be'ila, or other permutations like that, then you have problems. Then you have details, then they do have an effect. He's just saying that if you repeat the same action twice, then it has no effect. In the case of get and in the case of mimer, again, based on Rava's explanation, the reason is because he's not sure whether it has an effect or not. So therefore, if the first one has an effect, there's no room for the second one. And if the first one doesn't have an effect, neither does the second one. And when it comes to Be'ila and Chalitza, there it's just because Be'ila is effective Daraisa, Chalitza is effective Daraisa, and therefore, once the first one was done, then the second one is ineffective. The same way, for example, as a man is Mizana with a regular woman, it has no effect on him marrying her relatives. In the same way, at least Daraisa, Dirabanan actually, yeah, but yeah. Dirabanan it does because we learned earlier in the Masechta, because here Dirabanan doesn't, right. Well, yeah. And then chalitza, because again, the first chalitza was effective, and therefore the second chalitza is the equivalent of just doing chalitza with a random woman, where obviously it has no effect. So the first Rashi, by the way, says, you know, you're gonna learn our Mishnah, you're gonna end up mixing up what the order of things in our Mishnah is. So first, what the Mishnah is doing is like this. First, it's focusing on what happens with these permutations of get, chalitza, and bia, and then after mimer, and then after get, and then after chalitza, and then after bia. First, it's focusing on what happens when there's one yavam and one yavama. So first we said Rav Gamliel was talking about cases, again, where we said where there's two yavamas or two brothers. Now we're going to start focusing on the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say that there is get acha get and maimer acha maimer, etc. Where also the Mishnah is going to give us cases where the two things happen between the one yavam and the one yavama. Meaning, suppose that there was only Reuben had only one wife, Reuben had only one brother. So now, if that brother, let's say for example, if that maimer gives a get to the yavama and then does bia with her, what's the dinim of that? Or let's say he gives her a mimer and then he gives her get. Or he gives her mimer and then chalitza, etc. So that's it. We're going to discuss the chachamim. So first we're going to focus on what happens when there's one yavam and one yavama. Later on in the Mishnah, we're going to talk about what happens when there's two yavamim or two yavamas. That's the essence of what Rashi is saying in the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Okay, so the chachamim. So now the chachamim disagree with Rav Gamliel. They say no, yesh get acha get. The yesh maimer acha maimer, one get after another is effective in the sense that the chachamim say the first get does not completely push her away from yibum. Derabanan it does, but daraisa there still is a zika. Therefore, the second get also there's still room for the second get to take effect. After all, she still needs chalitza. So therefore, let's say where you have one brother and two yavamas, and he did a get for one and then a get for the other, the chachamim are going to say he's also to both of her relatives. And similarly, v'yesh maimer, acha maimer, the same thing, maimer after maimer, he does maimer with one, then he does maimer with the other, then the same thing, the second maimer has an effect where the second maimer has an effect. Where now the second one is he's going to do yibum with one of them, but if he doesn't, if he ends up doing chalitza with one of them, then the other one is going to need something as well. However, the chachamim agree that after be'ila or after chalitza, then there's nothing because be'ila and chalitza are effective daraisa, and those completely fulfill or break the zika, as the case may be. So, Ketzad, what do we mean, in other words? So Rashi says, we're not actually referring to the machloikas over here. What we're now, that's the thing. Now the Mishnah is going to start talking about how it works when there's one yavam and one yavama. So there's no room for machloikas, Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim, because obviously if there's only one yavam and one yavama, if he gives her a get and then another get, obviously nobody's going to hold the second get accomplished any more than the first one. There's nothing for it to accomplish. So now the Mishnah, so what the Mishnah is now going to be telling us essentially is, according to what Rashi is saying, is that what the mission, the case that the Mishnah is going to be telling us now, the cases, rather, in plural, that the Mishnah is going to be telling us now, of various permutations of Maimu, Get, Chalitza, and Bia, those are going to be according to everybody. Both the Chachamim and Ram Gamliel are going to agree with the next part of the Mishnah. So Ketzad, so what do we mean? Also Maimu B'Yavimto, so let's take the first case. He did Maimu with the Yavama, the Nosan La Get, afterwards he gave her a Get, and we're talking about, let's say it was a Get, let's say it was a Get for the Zika. So let's forget about for the moment where he gave her a get for the mimer that we had earlier, Rava telling us that in fact that undoes things and gets him back to square one. But let's say he gave her a get, having in mind that it is in order to break the zika. Tzricha himenu chalitza. She's still going to need chalitza because the get didn't break the zika. All it did was weakened it to the extent that now d'rabbanan they can't do yibum. But daraisa they still, need chalitza for her to be able to marry somebody else. Also, Maimer v'chalitza, similarly, vice versa, if he did Maimer and then did Chalitza, so Tzricha Himenu Get, she's going to require a Get, because again, the Chalitza removed the Zika, but you still need a Get to remove the Kiddushin, because the Chalitza is not going to remove the effect of the Kiddushin. Also, Maimer u'Boal, if he did Maimer and then he had relations with her, well then good, Harezu k'mitzvasa, this is the proper way of doing the mitzvah. Actually, the Rashi quotes here from the Gemara later on Daf Nun Beis that says, af zu k'mitzvasa, which we're going to see in the Gemara what that means. The Gemara says, this is also a valid way of doing it, implying that there's another valid way. We'll discuss in the Gemara on Daf Nun Beis what that means. And the fourth possible case, and the fourth possible. So those are the three possibilities. So we actually have table 184 over here summarizes everything that we're going to have over here, everything that we're going to have in this part of the Mishnah. So you have Maimer and then Get results that you need Chalitza. Maimer and then Chalitza requires you need a Get, and Maimer and then Bia is Kimitzvasa. You've done the right thing. Continues the Mishnah, Nosan Get. Now, what about the second group? If he gave her a Get, but also Mimer, and then afterwards he did a Mimer. Well, the Get, again, did not actually break the Zika, but it weakened it to the extent where now he can't do Yibum. So therefore, Tzricha Get v'Chalitza, she's going to require a Get to break the Mimer and Chalitza to remove the Zika. Similarly, Nosan Get or Baal, Tzricha Get v'Chalitza. By the same token, if he gave her a Get and then did Be'ila, where now this Be'ila is a Be'ila Psula, because now he wasn't supposed to have done it after giving her a Get, same thing. Tzricha Get v'Chalitza, the same thing. She's going to require, he's over now on Lo Yivne. He's over that the once he didn't build her up, because he gave her a Get and thereby prevented Yibum. So now, therefore, he's not allowed to do Yibum with her. So he still needs a Get to undo the effect of the Bia. And he still, because at least on a Daraisa level, that Bia was effective, because the Rabbanan, the Get before it, had no effect. But nevertheless, the Rabbanan, the Chalitza the Zika is still present. Therefore, he's going to need Chalitza. Rashi, by the way, points out, the Gemara is going to tell us that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva, at the end of the previous parak, told us that kiddushin are not effective with chayve lavin. However, over here, even though there is a lav involved of lo yivne, Rabbi Akiva would still say that kiddushin are toifus. Because, after all, a get is not really like chalitza. It doesn't remove the whole zikah. So there wasn't a real strong lav. The lav, it's the abanan, essentially, right? So therefore, he wasn't really over on the lav of lo yivne, and therefore, so it's not really a case where there's a lav where Rabbi Akiva would say kiddushin aren't toifus. So therefore, she needs a get to undo the effect. So in other words, daraisa, the bia was effective. Therefore, she needs a get, like any case where a yavam and yavama did, where they did yivum and then they want to get divorced. But she also needs chalitza because the abanan and the zika is still present, because it was a bia psula. Next, Nosan Get v'cholatz. What if he gave her a get and then did chalitza? Then there's no problem. Einach chalitza klum. Then, as we said, there's nothing after chalitza. Chalitza is effective on a daraisa level, and therefore that's enough. And therefore he doesn't need to do. Therefore he doesn't need to do anything else. Another case. So that takes care of the three possibilities of what if he gave her a get first. Now let's go with if he did chalitza first. Cholatz va'osa maimer. If he did chalitza and then changed his mind and did maimer, or nosan get to baal, or what happens if he did, if he gave her a get and then had relations, oy baal v'osam maimer, or he had relations and then did maimer, or nosan get v'cholot, so he gave her a get and then chalitza. In all those cases, einach chalitza klum, then after chalitza, there's nothing else. So after chalitza, there's nothing else. The Gemara is actually going to mention, so why don't we say after bia, there's nothing else. After all, some of the cases we just mentioned involve bia. But the point is, for example, what we're saying is, if he did chalitza and then he did a mimer, okay, well the chalitza was effective daraisa, einach chalitza klum. So therefore, the mimer has no more effect. Therefore he's not also in her relatives. It actually says it's not a matter of he's not also in her relative. He's anyway also in her relatives because he did chalitza with her. Achos chalutzase, we learned before, is also according to most of the chachamim d'rabbanan and according to Rabbi Akiva d'oraisa. So therefore, there's nothing left for the mimer to accomplish that the chalitza did. And the same thing with the other cases. The Mishnah says, achas yevama achas liyavam echad. All of this applies, whether with all of these rules that we just said apply, whether it's one yavam, and whether it's one yavama and one yavam, or the achas shte yavamas, the yavam echad, the same rules would apply if there are two yavamas and one yavam. So the same kinds of things that we said, what happens after a get, or what happens after a mimer, or after beer, or after chalitza, the same rules apply if there are two yavamas. Ketzad, what do we mean by that? Also, mimer bazu, same idea. Now here we come to the machlokas Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim. Rav Gamliel had said ein mimer acha mimer. So therefore, Rav Gamliel would say if he did mimer with one and then mimer with the other, nothing happens with the second one. Well, the first one had an effect that now her relatives are also to him, even if let's say she dies without anything else happening. Whereas Rav Gamliel would say that not. Rav Gamliel would say that not, and the Chacham would say that yes. Each mimer has an effect, and each one's relatives are also to him, right? But so now we're talking according to the Chachamim. So also mimer bazu. So suppose now he did mimer with one, and then with the other one. Now we're up to the next table. Now we're up to the next table, 185, the top part of the next table. So he did mimer for one, and then mimer for the other. So now the problem is, having done a second mimer, now he can't do yibum with either one. He can't do yibum with both of them, of course not, because he can't do yibum to two wives of one husband, shnei batim, you can't do that. You can't do yibum with one, because once he did mimer with the second one, then both of them have the same kind of closer connection. The zika with both of them has been strengthened, and now do yibum with one of them would be over on that shnei batim. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the result is each one is going to need a get in order to undo the effect of the mimer, and they're also still one of them is going to need chalitza because the fact is daraisa, the zika hasn't been dealt with. So actually, Tosfos points out on the face of it, what he could do is, again, we said before, we learned before on Daf Lamed Beis, that you could give a get and undo the effect of the mimer. So Tosfos points out, okay, well, in that case, why don't we do that? He gives a get to one of them to undo the effect of the mimer with her. Now he can do yibum with the other one whose mimer is still left over. So Tosfos mentions. We said before that Rava says you can give a get l'ma amore and you're good. However, Tosfos says over there that no, you don't want to do that because if he gives a get l'ma amore, that's easily confused with get l'zikase. B'di'evad was saying he does yibum with one of them, then it's effective. But B'di'evad was saying he gives a get for his mimer and then does yibum, then it's a valid yibum. But the l'hatchila he shouldn't do that. And also Tosfos says there's more reason in some cases to make the Gzeira than others. Anyway, so in our case over here, we're going to make a Gzeira. We're not going to allow him to do Yibum with either one of them. So therefore, each one needs a get to break the effect of the mimer, and we're still going to need Chalitza in order to satisfy the Zika on a Daraisa level, in order to break the Zika on a Daraisa level. Mimer Bezuva Get Lazu. What happens? He did Mimer with one, and then he did a Get for the other one. So now the fact that he gave a Get again prevents Yibum from happening. Tzricha Get Vachalitza. So the one with whom he did Mimer is going to need. So again, there's a problem of Lo Yibna. Therefore, she's going to need a Get to undo the Mimer for the first one. And he's gonna need chalitza because again daraisa the zika still exists, so he's gonna need to give he's gonna need to give a get to the one to whom he gave the mimer, and then he's gonna have to do chalitza with one of them. Mimer bazu ubalasu. What happens? He did mimer with one of them, and then he had relations with the other one. So now the problem is, Rashi says, because again he did mimer with one of them, that strengthens the zika. Now in effect, he's done on a certain level. He's done yibum with her already on a derabanan level at least. So now when he does bia with the other one, then we're back to shnei batim. We're back to that he's trying to do yibum with two wives from the same household, and he can't do that. So therefore. So it's Tzrichas Beis Gittin v'chalitza, same as the first case. Each one is going to need a get, one to undo the effect of the mimer, the other one to undo the effect of the bia, because the bia was valid d'oraisa, and then one of them is going to need chalitza because the zika has to be satisfied on that level as well. Actually, Tosfos says that given that this is already chalitza psula, they might actually need multiple chalitzas, because chalitza psula, tzricha lachzer, we talked about before, we're going to talk about further in our perek, that chalitza psula, sometimes you have to, every one of the brothers has to do it, or the brother has to do it with every one of the wives. So in this case, this is a chalitza psula because this is a chalitza psula because it was preceded by bia with one of them. Chalitza psula, we're saying tzricha lachzer, means that, for example, if we have multiple brothers, so far we're dealing with the case, for example, where there was one brother and two yavamas. But the same thing that we're going to see, a similar thing applies when it's two brothers and one yavama. Same idea. If one of them does mimer and the other does mimer, or one of them does mimer and the other one does get, et cetera, et cetera. So when you have chalitza psula, then she would have to actually do chalitza with each one of them in order to completely break the zikah. So in that case, Tosfos says here you actually may need that as well, depending whether you follow that opinion. But the Mishnah is not going into that level of detail. The Mishnah is just saying tzricha semenu chalitza without getting into the detail of exactly how many chalitzas do we need. The point is some kind of chalitza is needed. Next, mimer bazu v'cholat bazu. What if he gives one woman mimer and then he does chalitza with the other one? So how do you shun it? Tzricha get. The first one is going to require a get to break the effect of that mimer.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Well, let's say he didn't know what he was doing, but whatever. Get lazu v'get lazu. What happens now if he gives one a get and the other one a get? Well, there is the machloek that's serving a meal in the chachamim, where tzricha semenu chalitza, they're going to need chalitza from him. Because, in other words, this is the chachamim are saying, yesh get acha get. So therefore, the second get has an effect to the extent that now her relatives are also to him. But in terms of chalitza, they're going to need one chalitza, and that's they're going to need one. They're going to need one chalitza, and that's that. So according to Rav Gamliel, it's not so much you can't get married to two sisters. We're not dealing with sisters over here. According to Rav Gamliel, not so much that it's not toifus. Rav Gamliel is saying the reason why Rav Gamliel says ain't get a haget. Again, we're going to learn tomorrow about Rava's versus Abaya's reasons for it, but let's stick for right now with Rava's reason. Is Rav Gamliel is not sure what the effect of get is and what the effect of minor is. So he says if the get is doicha, if it pushes her off completely from doing yibum, then the first one already accomplished that, and therefore the second one there's no room for it to take effect. If the first one was not effective, neither is the second one. So therefore, there's no reason for the relatives of the second one to be also to him, or the relatives of the Yavama to be also to the second brother. That's ein get acha get. He says similarly with Mimer. Is Mimer koine or is it not koine? Same idea. The Chachamim are saying that no, the Mimer is partially koine, the get is partially doiche, but not enough that there shouldn't be room for the other one to take effect. That's the point. That's according to Rava. Abaya will give a different. Next continues the Mishnah. Get lazu ubalasu. What happens if he gave a get to one of the women and he had relations with the other? Tzricha get b'chalitza. That one is going to need a get and chalitza. He's going to need, she's going to need a get because he's not allowed to stay married to her. Again, lo yivne. He didn't build up because he gave a get to one of them and thereby prevented yibum from being effective even on a derabbanan level. So he needs a But on the other hand, he had bia with her. He had bia with the second one, and that was valid daraisa. So therefore, they need a get to undo that the effect of that marriage daraisa, and they still need chalitza because on a derabbanan level, there's still a zika. Get lazu umaima lazu umaima bazu. Similarly, if he gave one of them a get and did the other one a maimer, same thing. Tzricha get the chalitza. She's going to need a get. She's going to need a get and chalitza for the same reason, because she's going to need a get to undo the effect of the. She's going to need a get to undo. So she's the other one who received maimer is going to need a get to undo that, and one of them is going to need chalitza because the zika still exists on a daraisa level. So it's almost the opposite of the previous one. Actually, the previous one was get lazu bo lazu. The zika was satisfied on a daraisa level because there was be'ila. Derabbanan, we still have the zika has not been completely satisfied because it was a be'ila psula. Here it's the other way around. Here it's there was no be'ila at all. All there was things that are derabbanan, get lazu, maim lazu. Therefore, there was nothing to satisfy the zika on a daraisa level. But derabbanan, and therefore on a daraisa level we need chalitza. Next, get lazu. What if he gave one of them a get and then did chalitza to the other one? Fine, einach chalitza klum. There's nothing after chalitza, meaning nothing further is needed. Once he did chalitza, then we're covered. Cholatz v'cholatz, and if he did chalitza with one and chalitza with the other, we're there. We said both the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel agree that the second chalitza has no effect. Rav Gamliel argued with the Chachamim only about get acha get and maimer acha maimer. Chalitza after chalitza, they both agreed the second chalitza is nothing. Or cholatz v'asa maimer, or if he did chalitza and then maimer, chalitza to one and then maimer to the other, nos and get to baal, or if he gave one of them a get and then had relations with the other, a ball of ball, or if he had relations with one and then with the other, a ball of also mimer, or he had relations with one and then did mimer with the other, nos and get v'cholatz, or if he gave a get to one and chalitza to the other, in all those cases, einach chalitza klum, there's nothing after chalitza, and therefore, therefore, in other words, Rabbi Akiva, who the Gemara is going to say, all Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, kiddushin aren't even going to be toifus, because once chalitza was done, Once chalitza was done, then he says that that would be an isul lav asher lo yivne. Here we have the lav daraisa because there was actual chalitza, and therefore according to Rabbi Akiva's rule of the previous perek, kiddushin are not toifus b'chayv elavin. So therefore nothing happens. Now the Mishnah says bein yavam echad b'shtei yavamis. This all of this applies whether it was one yavam and two yavamis. Then shnei yivamin li yivama achas, or whether it was two yivamin and one yivama. So either way, the same rules apply. In other words, we're saying whether, for example, so the one yavam did chalitza, did let's say get with one and then maimer with one woman and then maimer with the other, or versus whether you're talking about one woman and one brother did get and the other one did maimer and the various other permutations that we talked about. All the same rules apply. Next, the Mishnah continues. Now, Rashi explains that the next line, Cholatz v'asa maimer, is going back to the case where there's one Yavam and one Yavam. Which means, in other words, now Rashi says, in that case, this part of the Mishnah is repeating what we said earlier. The difference is, Rashi says, there is no difference, actually. The point is, we're going to mention it over here because we're going to distinguish between Bia and Chalitza. Namely, we're going to point out another wrinkle that we didn't discuss before. Now you can have. Now when we talk about bia or when we talk about chalitza, there are various stages we can talk about. We can talk about that one thing was done, then something else, and then a third thing, and we can talk about when in that sequence was the bia done, and what effects does it have. And we're going to have a machlokas of Rav Nechemya and the Chachamim about some of those cases. Therefore, Rashi says, therefore, the Mishnah is reintroducing what happens with one Yavam and one Yavama as by way of introduction to that. There are Rishonim who learn differently and say that the Cholatz v'asa maimer is a continuation of the case with the two Yavamas and one Yavam or vice versa. But anyway, according to Rashi, it's just a new topic in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Cholatz v'asa maimer. So if he did, if he did chalitza and then he did mimer, or nosan getu baal, or if he did, if he gave a, now here again, according to Rashi, we're talking about one yavam and one yavama. So he did chalitza with her and then he did mimer to her, or nosan getu baal, or if he gave her a get and then he had relations with her, or he baal v'osa mimer, or he did be'ila and then he did mimer, the nosan get v'cholatz, or he gave her a get and then did chalitza. So in all those cases, einach chalitza klum, so nothing happens after chalitza, once chalitza, or we're going to, again, we're going to say in the Gemara why we're not mentioning einach abia klum, but anyway, einach chalitza klum, so therefore, now that applies, bein betchila, bein beemtza, bein besot. Now that applies whether the bia took place, or whether the chalitza took place at the beginning, the middle, or the end. So meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, so now we have the bottom half of, now we have the bottom half of table 185. So let's say, for example, he did chalitza, then he did mimer, then he gave her a get. Doesn't matter, einach chalitza klum, the fact that chalitza was there means that the mimer and the get after it have no effect. Similarly, bein ba'emtza would be he gave her a get, then he did chalitza, then he did mimer. Same thing, einach chalitza klum, and the chalitza, and therefore the get has no effect. That would be be'emtza. But seif would be he did mimer, then a get, then chalitza. Again, einach chalitza klum, and there's nothing else. So that's as far as chalitza. And so that's what the Mishnah is saying. Einach chalitza klum ben betchila ben be'emtza ben masayif. Wherever in the sequence chalitza was done, whether it was the first thing done or the second or the third. And then the other two things were get and were mimer and get. Then the chalitza always is effective, and there's nothing else after that. Nothing further is needed after that. What about when it comes to be'ila? Be'ila. Now here you have a machlokes when it comes to be'ila. Bizmanchi betchila in achariakum. If it's the first thing done, so let's say he does be'ila and then he does mimer. So then if he gives her a get after the be'ila, obviously the get is going to be effective because then it's effective daraisa. She's his wife. But if after the be'ila he did mimer, nothing happens. That mimer has no effect. So va'be'ila b'zman shi v'tchila ein acharei akum. If it's the first thing, then nothing after it is effective. Be'emtzo v'soif yesh acharei akum. However, the chachamim are going to say that if there was something else before the be'ila, so it wasn't a be'ila k'shera, then you're going to need something else. Then you're going to need chalitza. Because even though yibum was done, it was weakened by the fact that it was preceded by a get. So whether we're talking about that there was get, then be'ila, then mimer, or whether there was get, then mimer, then be'ila, either way, the chachamim are going to say that she needs chalitza. And that would apply also, that would also apply whether we're talking about one woman or whether we're talking about two different, or whether we're talking about two different women. That's according to the Chachamim. Reb Nechemia says, no, it doesn't matter. Achas be'ila v'achas chalitza, bein betchila, bein be'emtza, bein besayif, ein acharei akum. Reb Nechemia says the rules for be'ila are going to be the same as the rules for chalitza. Once be'ila was done, doesn't matter whether it was preceded by a get or not, there's nothing after it, and therefore nothing else is needed. Therefore the mimer after it, therefore no chalitza is needed. And if they want to get divorced, then it would be with a get like any other marriage. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Ad kan le pligi ela beget acha get or mimer acha mimer. Now what do we see? We see that the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel at the beginning of the Mishnah are only arguing about get acha get and mimer acha mimer, where Rav Gamliel is saying that one get has no effect after the first one, the second get has no effect after the first one, and a second mimer has no effect after the first one. Again, we're talking about, let's say that there were two different yavamas or two different yavamin, as the case may be. Both Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim agree that a get is effective and a mimer is effective, in the sense that a get has an effect that it prevents yibum from taking place on a drabonim level, and a mimer makes it that now the zika with the other yivamis is weakened, and therefore that only the one who did mimer should be the one doing yibum. My time, Omer Rabbanon. and my time omer rabbanon get the yivama mahani. So why did the chachamim tell us that a get is affected by a yivama? After all, daraisa, a get has no effect. The only thing you can do is chalitza or yivum. So why did the chachamim make that a get has an effect by a yivama? So the reason is mishum demahani ba'alma. Because after all, a get is affected by any other marriage. The iyamet loy mahani. So now the chachamim figured, if you say that a get is ineffective, amri, get people are going to make a mistake. They're going to think, get lohitziya v'chalitza lohitziya. People are going to think, look, a get and chalitza are both similar. They both allow her to remarry. A get by a regular marriage and a chalitza by a yivama. Umid get lemahani, chalitza nami lemahani. People are going to mistakenly think that if a get is ineffective over here, neither is chalitza, in the sense that chalitza by itself is not going to be enough. But Tosfos says, it doesn't mean people are not going to think that chalitza is completely ineffective. It says right there in the pasuk. But the point is, they're going to think that maybe chalitza requires a get as well. They're going to think chalitza by itself is not enough to be effective. Then people are going to think that you can still do yibum after chalitza, which you can't, because at that point you have the isur daraisa of asher lo yibum, where it's an isur lam. According to Rav Akiva, kedushin aren't even topis with her, but the point is that even according to the Chacham, that kedushin are topis, it's still a lab. It's still an isur lab. Therefore, the Chacham don't want that to happen. Now, Tosfos points out, by a regular woman, there's no such thing as chalitza anyway, so nobody's going to get mixed up like that. But now we're talking about a yivama. We're not going to require both a get and chalitza, precisely because we said we don't want people to think that chalitza by itself is ineffective. But we don't want people to think that you need chalitza plus get. So that is why the Chachamim said that get has an effect by a yivama, namely that it makes yibum impossible. Once they've done that, then good. Nobody's going to come after chalitza to do yibum with her, because if after a get, they can't do yibum with her. Therefore, after chalitza, they're going to know they can't do yibum with her either. My timer omer abonon maimer b'yivama mahani. Next, why did the Chachamim say that maimer is effective by yivama in the sense that now it makes that the other, that her tzara is not available for yivum anymore, or that if one brother does maimer, then she's not available to the other one for yivum? Why did they do that? So the same idea, mishum demahani ba'alma, because maimer, which is another word for kiddushin, is effective elsewhere. A regular woman, you do kiddushin, and it's chal. So again, the iyamat loy mahani, if you were to say that it's not effective over here, amri, people are going to make a similar mistake. Mimer likness or bia likness, both mimer and bia, are mimer by a regular woman and bia by yavoma, are effective at being koina. So people are going to think if mimer is ineffective when it comes to a yavoma, then bia by a yavoma is also not fully effective. You need something else as well. And you're going to have the problem that the one yavam is going to have relations with the second yavama, or that the second brother is going to have relations with the one yavama. And then again, even in the first case where there's no problem of eishes ish, there's still the problem of bayis echad hu boina ve'ena boina shnei batim, that the Torah tells us you do yibum with only one of the women from a household, not with both of them. The other one is an isur lab. So for that reason, the Chacham had to make that Maimer is effective. So now that Maimer is effective, once we know he did Maimer with Chana, then Leah is off limits to him. So even if now whether he does Maimer or whether he does actual Bia with Chana, he's going to know that Leah is off limits to him, and therefore we're covered. Next, or my time Omer Abana Bia Psula Yesh Acharei Akum. Now, why is it we said in the Mishnah that with the Bia Psula, we said that, for example, if there was Mimer and then Bia, then that he did Mimer with one of the women and Bia with the other. Then we said at the top of the Amud, we said that they were going to need two Gittin and Chalitza. That was on the fourth and fifth lines of the Amud, Mimer Bazu, Balas Zu. Why are we saying that? Why don't we just say once he did Be'ilah, then that's that, and nothing further is needed? So the reason is, Amri, because we say like this, if the Bia took place after a get, so for example, he gave a get to the woman and then did Bia with her, or he gave a get to one woman and then did Bia to the other, so then we don't want that. Because you, again, get and chalitza may be confused. If bia after get is fully effective, people are going to think that bia after chalitza is also okay. And we said that not, because there is isur daraisa shelo yivne. And if we're talking about a bia that took place after a mimer, now again, we don't mean a mimer with the same woman as the bia. That we said in the mitzvah, that he did mimer with her and then bia. We mean he did mimer for one woman and then bia with the other one. Why are we saying that then the bia is not fully effective? And we said that if he did mimer with one and bia with the other, we said also they need two gittin and chalitza. Why does each one need a get? Because the problem is zera biyacha maimer mishum biyacha bia. Again, because you might confuse maimer and bia, and then you might do bia with one and then bia with the other, and that would again be over on the lab of shnei batim. So therefore we don't want to allow that either. Okay. My time omer rabbanon hai chalitza psula ein acharei klum. Now, why did the chachamim say on the now this was as far as bia psula? Now, why are the chachamim saying that chalitza psula, which follows a get or follows a maimer, then ein acharei klum, then there's nothing else? And even let's say so we had in the last part of the Mishnah, we had machlokes of Rav Nechemia and the chachamim. So the chachamim was saying that chalitza, it doesn't matter what came before, even if there was get or maimer before it, nevertheless, the fact that chalitza was done, ein acha chalitza klum, and there's no problem. And if he later on, so let's say, for example, let's say he does chalitza and with one woman, and then he does maimer with another one, or gives a get to another one, nothing happens, and those other women's relatives aren't also to him. Why is that? Why don't we say that the fact is there was maimer, or there was chalitza, or there was get, and therefore it should have an effect? So the answer is, Amri, the Chachamim answered, my ligzer. Because after all, what is there to make a gzera on in that case? There's nothing, there's no potential issur daraisa that you could be over that would require us to make a gzera. Nigzer chalitza achara get mishum chalitza acha chalitza. What are we saying over here? That, so again, we're saying, if there was, let's say, get the second line of the last thought of table 185, you have over there, let's say, Bein Ba'emtza. We said over there, you did get, then chalitza, then maimer. So we're saying the chalitza is effective. That's it. The zika is completely broken. Now, if he does maimer with one of the women, nothing happens. In fact, again, the Gemara is going to say, our Mishnah is appointed of Akiva, that because it's an isur lav, then kiddushin aren't even tofus. So therefore, in other words, the maimer has absolutely no effect. So why is that? So we're saying like this. Amri, so they said, my ligzer. What would we have to make a gzera? What would be the potential problem? Nigzer chalitza achara get mishum chalitza acha chalitza. Should we say that we make a gzera that chalitza after a get doesn't work because they may come to do one chalitza after another? He may mistakenly think that he has to do chalitza with one woman, with Chana, and then with the second woman, Leah. So what's the problem if he does that? Kol kihani, taklitz v'tezo. Gezunt ahet, let them do chalitza. There's nothing, it doesn't matter. They can continue doing chalitza over and over. It's not going to have any effect that we're worried about. There are Rishonim who learn all Gemara differently, and they learn that it's more of a rhetorical question. Kol kihani, taklitz v'tezo. How many times are you expecting her to do chalitza? Anyway, Rashi says it's a statement of fact. We don't care. So a second chalitza is done when it wasn't necessary. Big deal. You're not over on anything by doing that. So therefore, we don't have a problem with that. Ligzer chalitza acha maimer mishum chalitza acha bia. Should we say that we should make a zera that if he does chalitza after maimer, then it might be confused with chalitza after bia? And after all, we know that once bia was done, then chalitza is ineffective anymore. Now you need a get. Now it's like any other marriage. You need a get to break it. Well, after all, so what? Also chalitza acha maimer milay boya get lamamor, right? The fact is, if there was chalitza after maimer, it's true. You are actually going to need a get to undo the maimer. And therefore, chalitza acha bia nami boya get the biyase. And so what? So chalitza after bia also you need to get. So in both those cases, when chalitza was preceded by either maimer or bia, you're anyway going to need a get. One daraisa, one dirabanan. Therefore, there's no problem of therefore there's no problem. We can say einacha chalitza klum, meaning there's nothing happens with the other women. It's true that he's going to need a get with this woman herself to undo to undo the effect of the maimer, because he did maimer and then he did chalitza with her. But the same thing would be true if he had done yibum with her. So therefore, we don't have a reason to be goyzer and say that there should be anything else have to be done after the chalitza as far as the other women or as far as the other yuvam or as far as the other yuvam. So that is why there's a difference, according to the chachamim, at least between chalitza and bia, whereby bia, we're going to say that bia psula, there's a difference and you need something else after it. He's still going to need chalitza, whereas chalitza psula, we don't care about that, because chalitza psula, in any case, we've covered all our bases. There's nothing that we need to worry about. There's no potential confusion that we're going to have that's going to lead to being potentially over on an isur daraisa. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we're going to discuss why Rav Gamliel holds as he does, the reasons of Abaye and Rava, and we're going to continue with more on this topic. Everyone, and now if there's anything, it was very confusing. So now's the time. If anybody has any questions for clarification, then now's the time to bring them up, and we'll try to clarify it as best we can. First of all, here we're not talking about sisters. Here we're just talking about tzaris. But yes, Rabbi Gamliel holds, it's true. Rabbi Akiva holds in kedushin tofes in b'chayv lav. So once you have a lav involved, then kedushin aren't going to be effective anyway. But he says that across the board. Rabbi Gamliel is saying specifically over here, again, according to Rava's reason, at least, that we have a suffix. What Mimer accomplishes and what Get accomplishes, and therefore, because of that, we're saying either the second one is ineffective because the first one was effective, or the second one is ineffective because the first one was also ineffective. So according to Rav Gamliel, it's manafshech why Get doesn't work after Get and why Mimer doesn't work after Mimer. It has nothing directly to do with Rabbi Akiva's opinion about kedushin not being tofes b'chayv lavan. That's a different matter altogether. It comes out to the same result, sort of, to a certain extent, but only in some cases. And even Rav Gamliel is agreeing when you have one yavam and one yavama that mimer can be effective after get after mimer, and so on and so forth. And even the Chachamim are agreeing that, for example, if you have something after Chalitza or something after Bia, then the other one is ineffective because Chalitza and Bia were valid daraisa. Now, when people did Yibam,
mm-hmm. In the old days,
mm-hmm.
They were primarily interested in building their brother's house.
That's how it's supposed to be.
People usually marry another woman and they build their own house too.
Very likely, but not necessarily. I mean, for example, you know, we don't really have a lot of cases of Yibum in the Torah, in Tanakh. We have, before Matan Torah, you have Er and Oinon over there, but Pashkos, they weren't married to anybody else. And in fact, though, we said that Oinon didn't want to build up his brother's household, and yeah. Then you have Boaz and Ruth, where Boaz was previously married, but his wife passed away. The Medrash says, actually, on the day that Ruth showed up in town. So in the case of Boaz and Ruth, it's actually not true Yibum because Boaz was not the brother of Elimelech. The Gemara says that he was his nephew, and there's a different Medrash that says that they were cousins. But in any case, they weren't really, it wasn't really true Yibum on a Daraisa level anyway. The Ramban explains on Chumash that in those earlier times they understood the ruchniistic value of Yibum, and therefore they would make an effort to do it whenever it was possible without being a problem Daraisa. Now, for example, before Matan Torah, let's say, you have Yehuda himself ends up doing Yibum with Tamar. He was Aaron Onan's father. After the Torah is given, that would be awesome because she's his daughter and all. But before the Torah was given, that would be allowed. But after
the Torah is given, he realized that it was a big
mitzvah. That's a big, that it accomplishes tremendous things for Ruchnius, and therefore he wanted to do it.
So
Right, but after Matan Torah, you can't do that. But still, for example, in the case of Boaz, where Machlon, Ruth's first husband, was either his cousin or his uncle, so there's no issue in the Torah to do that. Actually, if it's his uncle, it would be. So no, it's his cousin or his second cousin or whatever it is exactly. Anyway, the point is, it's a close enough relation that they're still noticeably related, but not enough for it to be an error. I mean, a Torah, midrabanan. So therefore, we did Yibum with her. Right, but that's all not true Yibum from the Torah. But yeah, the idea. So would a person usually, you ask me, would a person usually have another wife? Maybe not. I mean, we had cases before in Arma Sechta where one of the brothers is ponui, where he's not married, and then he ends up doing Yibum. So it could happen either way. The Yavama could end up being his first wife, or the Yavama could end up being his second wife, and he already has a wife of his own.
It seems like it was so important to the children more than the wife.
Yeah.
Building the house more than who you're married to.
I guess. Okay, so I guess at this point also, though, if we have anything that was unclear about our Mishnah or about our Gemara, then let's deal with that. If not, then I guess we'll.
Now I have one question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
What's going to happen after Tchias HaMeisim?
After Tchias HaMeisim, in general, as I understand it, so a woman is going to be married to her last. What it is like this: we know that a husband and wife are two halves of the same neshama, and Abroimim Kodim Yetziras Avlad, that 40 days before the baby is formed, meaning at the time of conception, it's decided Lamaila who should marry who. So eventually, what happens is, now generally, the Gemara says at the beginning of Soita that a woman, that a first spouse is the one that was Bashert Min HaShemayim. The Kabbalim explain that not always is it actually the first one that happens chronologically. Sometimes it happens for whatever reason, a person ends up marrying not their Basherta, and only later in life do they meet their Basherta. So then the answer would be, whichever one, keep in mind, a neshama can be divided into many parts. So therefore, each section of the neshama will go with the spouse that section of the neshama, that aspect of the neshama was most connected with. The neshama is like a flame. You know, you light one flame from another. You can't say this one has a part, as specifically a part of that one. So the same way, each neshama is a complete binyan of its own, and each one, the aspect of that neshama that had to do with that spouse will be with that spouse by Tchias HaMeisim. As far as the bodies, I'm pretty sure it says that that it'll be with the last one, but I'm not sure about that.
So the relationships will re-exist after Tchias HaMeisim or not?
So the relationships will re-exist, Bapashtos. I mean, you have maybe the question of whether they're going to need new kiddushin. Do we say that the kiddushin were terminated by their deaths? That's another issue. After all, given that a particular neshama's shlemos requires a certain spouse, then obviously they have to have that shlemos loss of love as well. Yeah.
So let's say you have bia, and then you have Misa, and then you have Chalitza after Tchias HaMeisim. What's going to happen?
Well, then I guess Chalitza breaks things. I mean, you might even say that after Tchias HaMeisim there's no more Zika, and therefore the Chalitza is ineffective. But I don't know. But if you had Bia anyway, we said Einach Bia. We said that Bia, if the Bia was a Bia Kshera, then nothing after it has any effect. So the Chalitza is not. So the chalitza is meaningless anyway, the same way as a regular couple gets married and they do chalitza, nothing happens. You need a get.
You need a get, but if you didn't have a get, first you had a misa, and then this Tchias HaMeisim, do you still need a get?
That's the question. If we say that the original kiddushin still continue after the death, and still continue by Tchias HaMeisim, then yeah, I suppose if they want to get divorced at that point, they would need a get. If not, then not.
But how are you going to know which neshama is in which goof?
I don't know, but I am sure that the experts who know about neshamas are going to be able to tell us. All right.